Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods and the large Chino sandwich. Have your fresh toppings any way you like. Now only $7 at Dagwoods.
6:07 to be exact. How you doing, Pierre?
I'm doing great, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Interesting that the LA Kings, a franchise that has had some issues in along the lines of Devin Setoguchi, he's battling through the last couple of years, would give him an opportunity like this.
I don't think that bothers Dean Lombardi. I don't think that bothers Daryl Sutter. They've got, especially Daryl's got a huge reference point on Devin Setoguchi coming out of the Western Hockey League and when he was a first-round pick of San Jose. You know, I remember Devin when he was a junior at the World Under 18. Gord and I were actually doing the games that year. It was a lockout year. Devin never, ever attained the level he should have attained as an NHL player. He was an amazing junior player, and part of it is what you just heard on that soundbite. So hopefully he's been able to fix himself and correct what's been ailing him, and he can go forward and make it. But if he can be clean and be, you know, let's say physically fit and in shape, I think he's got a chance to play in the league. I really do.
I know, because a lot of people wondered what happened in such a rapid time frame. Now everybody knows the story. What happened?
Well, I mean, yeah, sometimes you cannot speak about these things just because it's not appropriate. It's not your job. You might know certain things. That's why I say to you sometimes with respect, I can't tell you who or I can't tell you why. But in his case, it wasn't appropriate to speak about, and I'm glad that he's taken care of and tried to slay the demons that have been affecting him.
Because we spent some time talking about it yesterday, just a refresher.
I think he's a different kind of player. I think on that line in particular, he needs somebody that's going to grind it out and really dig in the corners. I'm not sure Max is that kind of a player, with all due respect. Max is more of an off-the-rush kind of a guy. He's not a dominant board player. Do you think he's been a dominant board player since he's been in Montreal? No.
Max Pacioretty, prior to Team USA's matchup against Finland last night, with Pacioretty moved alongside Ryan Kesler and TJ Oshie, had a terrific game as the Americans beat Finland.
That was a perfect fit. That's why I was telling you what I was telling you yesterday. To play with Kane and to play with Pavelski is a completely different role. You play with Oshie and you play with Kesler, you got guys that can play with some thump, and then that opens you up to go do some of the things you need to do. So, I credit John Tortorella. I know there was a lot of overreaction, in my opinion anyways, to what John had said. I thought John handled it extremely well, and obviously Max handled it really well because he had a very good game last night against Finland.
Earlier today, about 1 hour ago.
By the way, I will tell you, Maguire Family Golf is unlike anything you've ever seen. Oh, my God. It's like wrestling. Like, it's like they taunt each other. They scream at each other. Like, I played in the fivesome with him and his brothers, and they're yelling at me for missing five-footers. Come on!
sounded like an old Kennedy compound touch football game on the front lawn.
He's close on it. The only person missing is my sister Renee and my late father, but... Yeah, no, Gord got a chance to witness some of the good ones up at Tromelo when Rex was alive. Things are a little bit more tame right now. We're in central Pennsylvania with five other friends, some of them pro golfers. So today was a great day. And you know what? You're talking to a guy that finished in second, so I'm really happy. Oh. Now I just got to pull off 36 holes tomorrow.
How much time can you do that in?
36 holes?
Yeah.
We're going to start at 7:30 tomorrow. We'll be done by 5 tomorrow night.
Wow.
Because we stop for lunch.
Right. Man, you must love golf, huh?
I do.
And everybody listening who loves golf, I know. You're saying,
you know,
I wish I could do
stinky,
it.
This was a stinky golf summer for me because I was in Rio for almost a month.
Yeah, it really was
so
stinky.
It was stinky, and I didn't get to play.
Come on!
Okay, let's move on here. Something that Mitch Gallo was talking about yesterday, a little bit more today, about injuries at the World Cup. Tyler Seguin is now out with the ankle injury, and Ryan O'Reilly coming in to replace him.
This is the biggest fear I've had about the whole tournament, and Mitch Gallo nailed it, and I agree with him. And I, again, Ryan O'Reilly's a very crafty player, but he's nowhere near the speed quotient of a Tyler Seguin, not even close. So it's a completely different situation. That being said, I hope I really mean this. I hope that Tyler Seguin is not, you know, really severely hurt. I just don't know. Again, I hear everything, but I don't know for sure because I'm not there.
So Ryan O'Reilly, you'll have three centermen on a line, which is not strange.
O'Reilly can play
one. Yeah, there's O'Reilly, Thornton, and Giroux as a trio tonight against Russia.
Yeah. No, I'll be watching that tonight. But O'Reilly can play wing. And I wouldn't. The one thing I'd say about Ryan O'Reilly, the one thing that he's better than Tyler Seguin at is being versatile. Versatile, I should say. He's much more versatile than than Tyler Seguin.
So, Pierre, would you be concerned at all with Carey Price starting against Russia if he doesn't pick it up compared to the obvious rust and which was, you know, easy to suggest might happen in his opener? Should there be any concern about that? Or
no.
Is he I believe he's going to start the tournament, even if he lets in a couple of more bad ones tonight. Sean here disagrees. Sean believes that they'll go to Corey Crawford.
If he's bad. Like, I don't expect him to be bad. I don't think he's going to be playing poorly. If he plays okay, that's a different story. But there's so much leeway with goaltending with Team Canada that they have the freedom. If Carey Price lets in 2 to 3 bad goals because he's still a little rusty, it's okay that Corey Crawford and Braden Holtby. I'm okay with that.
Point taken. I totally understand. But I think based on what happened at the Olympics in Sochi, and the fact that Carey Price has been an MVP of the National Hockey League regular season, I would say that he's probably got a little bit more room to run and be bad than maybe the other guys, even though Corey Crawford's obviously won 2 Stanley Cups and Braden Holtby had a phenomenal year last year, just off the charts. I still think that Carey's their guy, especially, and this is the one thing, and I say this again, no disrespect meant, Carey Price is much better with the puck than Corey Crawford and much better with the puck than Braden Holtby in terms of handling it. And on small ice situations against elite players, that makes a difference. I know you got to stop the puck, but you also have to move the puck too.
As we're speaking to Pierre, the pre-tournament game involving the Czech Republic and Team North America is coming to an end. Team North America has got 10 seconds to tie it up at 3-3, so it looks like they have lost this one 3-2. Earlier today, Pierre, Craig Button.
I don't think they'll win a game in their pool.
Not even a game?
No.
Okay,
I don't think
not?
They can beat Sweden, Finland, or Russia.
Why not?
I love the idea. I love their team. I think they're fast. I think they're skilled. But guess what? The Swedes and the Finns and the Russians are skilled too.
What do you think, Pierre?
He's a smart guy. I agree with him. That's what I told you the last couple times I've been on the air with you. Everybody's all in love with him because it's pre-tournament hockey. They're fun to watch, absolutely fun to watch. They don't have nearly the same veteran presence as some of those other teams, not anywhere close, and that's going to be their undoing, that and their lack of depth on defense and the fact that they don't have nearly as much experience. They just don't. It's not a knock on them. I mean, my goodness, they're just a delight to watch. But when pros want to be pros and shut down younger kids can learn a lot. They really can. I think Craig is bang on. I think Craig Button's one of the better hockey guys out there that's not working for an NHL team right now. I really mean that.
Well, he ran down, and I know that's his area of expertise. He ran down the list of prospects that Sean and Connor are going to describe.
Yep.
They're doing play-by-play of the rookie camp, and you can see why he's as well thought of by you and others in the industry as he is. But
well,
Pierre... You obviously, with that those comments about team, you are incapable of seeing into the future.
It's meaning what?
And it's all over! We have a champion of the World Cup of Hockey 2016!
North America's played some incredible hockey, Doc. They shut down the best players in the entire world, and they are world champions.
How about that?
What are you talking about, from 96?
No, that's EA. That's your buddies, Emmerich and Olchik. They EA 17. They played it.
I don't play video games.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should try it, you know?
No, I like real games.
That's
I actually go to rinks and scout players,
yeah.
Real players, young players.
Well, these guys do it too. Don't they scout these guys? Don't they have Gallo? How accurate is because Gallo's a gamer. Sean, are you a gamer? Like, I know Rod's a gamer.
I still have my Super Nintendo. I play NHL 94 when I can.
Yeah, I'm not a gamer, but you know, these guys, how realistic is it? Seriously.
The game itself is very realistic if you're looking for the pace and the gameplay and all that. However, we read out the ratings, Mitch. Yeah. Come on, how many ratings did we think they got wrong? I don't know how much scouting they're doing.
Yeah, but anyway. So that's it. EA Play the world, whatever it is. What is it? The World Cup? Hey, you know what people are saying right now? Yeah, you wouldn't forget what it's called if you had the rights to it. Right.
What? The World Cup of Hockey?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I know it's the World Cup of Hockey.
No, I'm talking about me, not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're veering off here, Pierre. It's my fault.
I know. Yeah, no.
Well, I threw you for a loop with Doc and Eddie doing the play-by-play of Team North America defeating. Can you imagine if that actually happened?
It'd be great for hockey, but I don't see it happening. I'm with Craig Button on it, you know. I think the league's never been in a better situation, excuse me, in terms of the ability of young players to be really good and play in the league. And I'm just so excited about where this next season is going. I understand there's a World Cup to play. I think it's great. I hope the fans enjoy it. But I'm really focusing in on the NHL regular season. I can't wait to get going.
All right, Pierre, so I was watching that North American Czech Republic game from earlier today, and we were talking about injuries earlier. What do you think about Johnny Gaudreau playing in this tournament without a contract? How do you think the Flames feel about it? And what do you think he should be paid?
That's a great question. What's Jonathan Huberdeau getting, Mitch Melnick and Mitch Gallo?
$6 million over 6 years.
There you go. That's what he should be being paid.
He should probably get a little more than that, right?
No, you have to measure the size factor. Johnny Gaudreau's not an overly large guy. You don't know with those players. I'm just telling you, if the agents, what they do, it's all comparables. You just don't know on the size factor and how long he can play. Once those guys lose a half a step or a full step, it's totally different. And so you just never know because of injuries. But his escapability is as good or better than anybody in the league. He's talking about Johnny Gaudreau.
So Team North America faces Team Czech Republic today. And for the second major tournament in a row for the Czech Republic, the captain is Tomáš Plekanec. And it seems in Montreal, when it was time for captaincy, his name really never came up. It's been a long signing. Does his leadership get kind of swept under the rug in Montreal?
No, it's a little bit different. And the difference is that he's part of the Kladno Mafia. And I say that with respect. There's so many good players out of Kladno. They're probably producing as many or more good players in the Czech Republic than anybody else. And he's a revered guy in that community, in that area. It's a different kind of leadership. They're talking in their native tongue. It's a different European leadership is much different than North American leadership. It just is. And so, no, I don't think he gets overlooked at all. I think Thomas is a very useful player and a very good leader, but I don't think he's a captain of an NHL team.
Unless he ends up in Vegas, for example. Right? Could you not see that?
Well, I mean, who else ends up in Vegas?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, like, I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't put the C on Tomáš Plekanec. And certainly, he's running out of time here. But the possibility exists that he could end up as a veteran presence on a young team, whether it's an expansion team or a team that's building, and they might want
to
slap a C on him. I don't know.
No, that's fair. But I would bring him in as a leadership type of a player, no question, because he'll never cause your problems. He'll never cause your group problems. The problem you have is what's amazing to me, and at some point somebody's going to ask the question, why is there so much animosity between Tomáš Plekanec and David Krejci? Where did that come from? How does that manifest itself? Because I have never heard, and I've, you know, tried to get it out of Krejci, and he won't say anything, but man, watch them play against one another.
I mean,
they're countrymen.
I'm curious if it had to do with that seven-game series that they...
Is Krejci from Kladno?
No.
There you go.
No,
part of the mafia.
But it's amazing. Just the bad blood between those two guys is scary.
But I think so many players hate playing against Tomáš Plekanec. He's a filthy hockey player.
What?
the stick work, the cross-checking, the stuff behind, like, Thomas Plekanec is the, you know, I say filthy, and you might think about it the wrong way. I mean, like, sneaky
filthy.
It's
a compliment.
It's a sneaky filthy.
I was hoping you were going to say it's a compliment. Okay, I get it. I understand. I'm a fan. I like him. I don't think he's a number one center. I didn't think Saku Koivu was a number one center either, but I think he's a really good player in the league.
But I just can't help but wonder. It's a good point about the two of them, but maybe that, you know, the because the Canadiens and Bruins play an awful lot in the spring, Canada has done a pretty good number on Krejci in these head-to-head matchups.
There's no question. Absolutely, he has. I totally agree with you. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Krejci doesn't like him, or maybe Plekanec is in his head. I don't know, but that's the one thing. I try to always look at different matchups and potential situations going into a season, and that's one that after last season in particular, I'm like, that's one to watch. It's one to really pay attention to.
All right, what happened in the game that most people missed today? We had an incident in the game today.
The Roman Polak crushing Connor McDavid from behind?
Roman Polak on Connor McDavid from behind.
I didn't see it. I'll probably see it tonight when I'm watching the other game. Why would that happen? Was it an innocuous play? What kind of play was it?
Yeah, I would describe it that way, Pierre. The puck was kind of in the corner, and McDavid was going in with a lot of steam. And you always talk about the Brian Burke bear hug rule.
Yep.
This is one of those instances where the hit would not have occurred if that rule was allowed.
See, that we're seeing so much of that. That's a great description, Mitch Gallo, by the way. I hope that at some point the league will really put that into play. I don't think it would affect offense at all, and it would save a lot of players. But one of the things that I'm noticing, especially watching the World Cup, is the faster players are exposing themselves to slower players for hard hits from behind, because they are winning the races, and the slower guys are not letting the skilled guys or the fast guys off the hook. That's the one thing that's really stood out in this pre-tournament game. And, I've been watching.
100%, but there are people out there, you know, because you've heard from them, put the red line back in, and maybe you wouldn't have that issue.
Well, then, if you do that, you might as well just get used to playing games that are 1-0 and 2-1. And no lead changes. If you want to do that, that's fine. Then you won't have any lead changes. It'll be over. I'll take you back because the numbers don't lie. The 2004 Stanley Cup Final, Calgary Flames, Tampa Bay Lightning, 7 games. If you scored first in any game, you never lost the game. Simple, realistic, and the numbers don't lie. It was tackle football. It was insane. It was awful hockey. Tampa won. Good for them. Calgary lost. Tough luck for them. But it was just disastrous to watch.
Final one, Pierre. Canada and Russia coming up.
I think it's right now. It's just getting old. I think it's two teams playing, nationals team playing. So I'm looking forward.
I don't like talk about that. I know Alex. He's a good guy. He's he really want to win Stanley Cup. It's tough talk about Stanley Cup. It's always, you know, Pittsburgh against Washington. It's a great rivalry, but it's I hope Ovechkin win too, you know, sometimes, but it's but when we play against Washington, we won every game win.
Wow, Evgeny Malkin, he started in the playoffs last year. He's turning into a chatterbox. And well, Alex Ovechkin, yeah. On of course the age old comparison between Crosby and Ovechkin.
First of all, you know who gets a huge assist for Malkin's English? Sergei Gonchar and Sergei Gonchar's daughter. They've been delightful for Malkin in terms of understanding North American culture and living here and learning how to speak English. I thought Gonchar maybe was the most underappreciated person in the Penguins organization in terms of helping their young defense. Mm-hmm. He did a great job with them, along with Jacques Martin, by the way. But you know what? I don't think Russia-Canada ever gets old. I really don't. I don't. You know, I understand.
All right, he was talking about Crosby and Ovechkin specifically.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that gets old either.
Yeah, you know why Ovechkin's tired of it?
Yeah, because one guy wins, and the other one loses. Yeah.
All right. Good luck. You must be. You probably hitting the sack early today with 36 holes coming up tomorrow.
I want to watch hockey, and I'm about to go to dinner with everybody. So no, I'm
say
not
hi. Good. And by the way, did I miss a significant birthday this summer?
Well, for Sally, yeah, she's 80.
How?
It's September 20th.
Oh, it's coming up. So I didn't miss it.
She's over in Europe right now with my aunt, Cammie.
Okay.
But they're over in Europe on a cruise. But her birthday
she's listening.
Is September 20th. We had her birthday in New York at Milos, my favorite restaurant in Montreal and New York. So it was awesome.
Spectacular. I bet you Sally's fantastic. Listening right now, even though it's like 12:30 at night.
She does listen to you all the time.
I know she does.
Happy probably.
So I'm going to remember on the 20th to make sure that she hears it.
That's, and then you know who's close to her on the birthday, right? The guy that's the winningest coach in the history of the NHL. Don't forget saying happy birthday to him.
Never forget Scotty Bowman. Thanks, Pierre.
Never. Bye. Have a good one. We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks, Mitch. Bye. Yep. I don't play video games.